first guest is an old friend of mine named Barbara Kennan, who a couple weeks ago with her friend Carolyn Ottmers launched what I consider one of the great ideas in the history of this beleaguered town. It's called Creative Chicago Reuse Exchange. And it is born, Barb Kennan, and hi.
Hey, Rick.
It is born of the notion that Chicago public school teachers are in need and have been for many years filling that need with money from their own pockets for the what I would consider the essentials of young life. Pencils, paper, every other conceivable thing, not just to create art, but to just get by. That is the reason you started this thing, right?
That's absolutely the reason. It was thinking about the needs of Chicago teachers and Chicago schools and also nonprofits in general. There's so many organizations and people who need really basic things. And then there's also a lot of people who have things that are in perfectly good condition that they don't need any longer. So
see,
we just wanted to connect them.
That's something you noticed in just walking around the city. You would see dumpsters filled with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you said to yourself, well, there must be a way to get this stuff someplace other than dumpsters into the hands of people who need them. So you and Carolyn started this Creative Chicago Reuse Exchange. It's a 501c3, which means the stuff that businesses and other places give you can get a tax deduction, which they should just do this out of the goodness of their hearts. But there's benefit for them, too. When you put out the call, I was there a couple weeks ago to see what it was like. But before we tell the listeners how unbelievable it was, you put out the call and you were really gratified by the response, weren't you?
We were delighted by the response because so many different kinds of, we were mostly targeting businesses, but we also heard from individuals. And people said, you know, we've been holding on to this stuff for a long time because we didn't want to throw it away, but we didn't know what to do with it. And they were so happy to be able to give it, especially knowing it was going to go to teachers.
That must have been the most heartwarming aspect of the entire thing, not just for you, but also for these businesses and individuals and schools and cultural institutions. You got stuff from the Lyric Opera.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of really great things from the Lyric Opera.
What did
it was
you,
amazing.
When you had at the Chicago Teachers Union headquarters on the Near West Side, you put out this call and said, okay, we're going to be open for 3 days and we want you to bring your stuff in there. You were, judging by the stuff that mm-hmm. I saw, almost overwhelmed, weren't you?
We had a lot of things. We had a lot of people coming up with their vans and their cars and then unloading things like boxes and boxes of books, bolts and bolts of fabric, kind of sidewalk signs and sandwich signs, lots of foam core. Some people who were retiring or they were downsizing their offices and they just said, you know, they gave us a list. Do you want all this stuff? And we were like, yeah, we'll take pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Because it was an experiment. We were experimenting.
Right.
To find out what was out there and also to find out what the teachers were interested in.
Part of what you did was to sort of not instruct the teachers, but by the time the teachers got there, there were a million surprises for them. And also things, okay, if you give a teacher a bunch of paper mm-hmm. and some crayons and some pencils, they basically will know what to do with it. Here, kids, let's draw something. But there were you had two volunteers who had flown in from
Austin,
Texas, mm-hmm. two sisters who had flown in and were teaching any teacher who wanted to learn about ceramics. That element of it. You sparked the creativity of the teachers, too.
Right, and that was a lot of fun. We were really trying to expand everybody's idea of what is trash, and that trash is basically a failure of imagination because you can do something with almost anything. And so Sarah was teaching mosaic work that we could do with, you know, leftover dishes and how you can make frames and things. Using that, we were also teaching people how to make boxes and envelopes and stuff by folding paper. There was somebody else teaching bookbinding. There were people doing rugs and all these wonderful toys using upholstery fabric and leftover, you know, yarn and buttons.
What were some of the most surprising things that came in the door? You told me about an organization out in Glen Ellen that had been managed from Wheaton High School or from some high school to get you 60 band uniforms.
We got 60 marching band uniforms, and they were from Wheaton North, and we heard about it through Scarce, which is the organization that's out in Glen Ellen. And we connected them. Somebody from Sullivan High School came, and they said, they actually have the same colors. They had black and gold and blue. The jackets were blue. And so the band uniforms, they had sparkly vests. They had hats. They had the jackets. They had cuffs. They had shoes. They had pants. And so they took the 60, and then we found out Wheaton actually had 60 more.
Oh,
so
no.
They ended up getting 120 band uniforms that Wheaton didn't need anymore.
Yeah.
And Sullivan is totally able to use it. And it was fabulous, because what else are you going to do with band uniforms?
What are you going to do with 120 band uniforms?
Exactly.
Well, and what you have done, what you and Carolyn have done, and what Creative Chicago Reuse Exchange has done is streamline the process. You don't have to go through any kind of bureaucracy. You get to give this to you, and you give it to somebody else.
That is the idea. And we're refining that, because that is exactly the idea, is to streamline the process and make it really easy to know where to go to donate your stuff, and for teachers and nonprofits to know where to go to get things.
This organization has just been launched. You can check it out, and it's a very nice website. Creative Shy RX. Get it? CreativeShyRx.org. Barbara Kennan, the co-founder of the Creative Chicago Reuse Exchange with her friend Carolyn Otmers, two visual artists. They are artists who banded together to become businesswomen, and somehow they've made a go of it. The website is CreativeShy, that's CreativeShyRx.org. A couple weeks ago, they held their first swap thing where people gave donations, including 120 band uniforms and easels and artwork and paint and everything you could imagine. Typewriters. I saw everything over there at the Chicago Teachers Union headquarters, who gave you some space in which to do this. The most, it looked like, and a lot of people said, wow, this looks like the coolest Walmart. The people coming in were, in the last 2 days, were the teachers who had heard about it. There was an email blast, I think, from CTU, but a lot of it was word of mouth. And Barb, I got to tell you that they were absolutely wide-eyed. And at the end of their adventure, in which most of them took home tons of stuff, some were crying.
I was surprised about that, too, about the level of emotion that the teachers felt. But we heard, you know, some would walk in and say, you know, I have nothing. I go into my classroom and I have nothing, and I have to figure out where I'm going to get stuff from. And so they were so grateful. A lot of people couldn't believe it was free. They thought they were going to have to pay. And then the other thing that I thought was very significant is that no one hoarded. People took what they needed. People shared. People, you know, teachers advised each other on things you could do with things. So it was very respectful, and they were very grateful. It was moving.
Well, because moving. They all, I think, part of it, I was talking to a bunch of them, they're all in what is, in essence, they're all in a leaky boat together. You know what I mean? They have suffered, especially teachers who've been around for a long time, severe budget cuts.
Draconian.
Yeah, where they don't have toilet paper in some schools. Many schools don't have libraries at all, so they got a lot of books. You and Carolyn and all these volunteers you had there must have been so encouraged. I mean, it's one thing to have me say, hey, wow, what a great idea, but it's another thing to see it in action.
You know, it was really remarkable about the event, and it really was, it was a week. We had three days of taking donations, 1 day of organizing, and 2 days to give it all away. And throughout the whole thing, everyone was happy. People were working really hard, and they were really happy. The donors were happy, the volunteers who were just working so hard and so amazing, and then the teachers. So the whole vibe of the event was just so extremely positive.
What have you heard since? I mean, my ideal phone call would be, hello, Ms. Kennan, I own X company, and I'd like to give you $1 million. I'm not sure you got that call, I cannot imagine the response to what you two and others did was not incredibly positive.
Well, it has been really positive, and what's been nice is that a lot of new donors have been contacting us who just found out about it and want to know how they can keep giving. And so we're coming up with a new event and coming up with a strategy. But as I mentioned, we're just starting out. So one of our next steps is we need to find a permanent location, because this really shouldn't just be a two-day event.
I totally agree. That would be the best thing, to have someone donate a permanent space, mm-hmm. which could be manned by one person, and someone could deliver stuff, and then you could have these kind of blowout.
Sure.
They're not sales, these blowout giveaway kind of things.
Sure.
And in a good location, you know, near West Side, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The volunteers you had came, some of your were friends of yours and Carolyn's, and some were, you know, the CTU folks, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You must have heard from them, too, the whole notion of, this is the greatest idea I've ever heard of. It does exist. Similar kinds of things exist in other cities. You found one in Long Island City that long ago inspired you to do this. Why hasn't it happened here, Barb? Is the bureaucracy too stern and stiff?
There's a couple reasons, I think, why it hasn't happened here. And one of the reasons is that it kind of did happen, except that it wasn't really supported. So the one that inspired me in New York City started 30 years ago, and Scarce, the one that is inspiring in Glen Ellen, started 30 years ago. And here, you know, the Resource Center, which is this fabulous organization that pioneered urban agriculture, recycling,
sure, sure,
composting. They also pioneered creative reuse, and they had a Quonset hut on Maxwell Street for a million years that did this. But I think out of all the things that they were pioneering, this was the one that kind of fell by the wayside.
Mm.
And so a lot of people thought maybe it was still happening, but it really hasn't been happening. And so there, it was sort of a vacuum. And we decided it was time to go in and fill it, really.
Well, and one of the problems, too, in talking to the teachers who I met at the Creative Chicago Reuse Exchange Coming Out Party, was the kind of environment that CPS and that bureaucracy has instilled, where I would ask teachers, well, what school are you from? What class do you teach? To a person, they did not want to talk on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, well, I don't want to get in trouble with my principal. And you think, well, your principal would rather see you spending your own money, I suppose, and the principal would rather see you spending your own money than trying to do something. That's unfortunate. You must have heard a lot of that, too.
It's really, really unfortunate, and it's not unusual, I guess, in giant bureaucracies. Maybe the principals don't know what to do. I don't know. But the teachers really, one of the reasons we started this is because we wanted to work directly with the teachers. I guess I should say that.
Sure.
It's hard to navigate a bureaucracy, but the teachers are on the ground. They're working with the students. They know exactly what they need. And so we wanted to talk to them. And we had worked with certain people at CPS. And even internally, they're challenged because they can't always communicate with teachers directly.
Right.
They have to go through
right.
a bureaucracy and their hands are tied. So, you know, the beauty of starting your own organization is you can cut out the middleman or whatever and just go right to the source, to the people who need it.
Now, are you expecting, as you and Carolyn start to, you know, make plans for a permanent space, I'm assuming that 2 weeks from yesterday, maybe not exactly that day, but on the first day of school for public mm-hmm. school children, you are likely to hear from a number of teachers. How many teachers came through the doors?
We had over 500 teachers who came over the course of 2 days.
That's so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think you're going to hear incredible stories from them about, you won't believe what I did with this thing that you gave me?
Oh, yeah. And we're really looking forward to hearing from the teachers. And the other thing that was nice about the event is, so those artists that came in to do demonstrations, a lot of those connected with teachers and are scheduling classroom visits.
Ugh.
So they're already going to go out and, you know, teach creative reuse ideas to kids all over the city.
Barbara Cannon, you and your friend Carolyn Edwards are due for the Nobel Prize in a few years. I'm serious. I'm serious, because helping children in this wanting environment is really something. You people can go to CreativeShyRx. That's CreativeShyRx.org to learn more about the Creative Chicago Reuse Exchange. Barb, you're a champ.
Oh, thanks,
sir. You're a champ. Thanks for coming on. We got to take another break, then we'll get some news, and then we will tell you about 111 places in Chicago that you must not miss. A new book by Amy Brazzari, who's a school teacher, who's a Chicago public school teacher at Carl Sherrill's High, where my father went to school. We'll be right back.